We're on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, and we're still studying the sugya of Rabbi Yehuda with regard to Shvuya. What's the status of a Shvuya according to Rabbi Yehuda? The Gemara quoted Rabbi Yochanan as identifying Rabbi Yehuda with Rabbi Dosa. The upshot of that analogy is that Rabbi Yehuda would go as far as to allow a Shvuya to eat Truma, like Rabbi Dosa, and there's no belief, there's no assumption that she, the Shvuya, had a Be'ilah to a Goy during her Shevi period. She still has a Chezkas Kedusha, and the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Dosa, they make it depend upon HaPesh HaSapesh HaHita. Do we have any independent information, proof, to establish the fact that she was in fact a Shvuya, or do we know it only from her confession? Now, Rabbah questions the assumption, the underlying assumption of Rabbi Yochanan to equate Rabbi Yochanan with Rabbi Dosa, and suggests the possibility that Rabbi Yehuda, now Mishnah, who establishes that in the case of an ones shvuya he pays knas, it's based on a different svar entirely, shelo yehi chote niskar. Whereas the case of truma, we could raise the possibility that truma Bizman Azeh is only Drabbanan, or leaving that out, even before we get to that answer, the Gemara suggests that maybe Rabbi Yehuda would hold like Drabbanan, that we do assume that perhaps she was Nivala. We have to ask her, therefore, Betoras Chalola Mina Kahuna, and she cannot eat Truma. And there, in the context of Achilles Truma, there's no Svara of Shalo Yehechote Niskar. Alternatively, even Rabbi Dosa would have assumed on a Doraisa level that she was Niv'eles, the Shvuya was a Niv'eles, and she'd be Psula Litruma. But since it's only a Suffolk, as far as Truma Bizman Azeh, which is only Drabbanan, because the Torah says that Truma is only in Eretz Yisrael, and even in Eretz Yisrael we need various conditions to be fulfilled, and there is a possibility that Trumas Peros, I'm not talking about Tirush V'Yitzar, but Shar Peros might be Drabbanan. I mean, that's a big issue. In any event, with regard to Truma Drabbanan, Rabbi Dosa is going to apply the principle of Safik Drabbanan Lekula, but he would not permit the Achil of Truma Doraisa. And therefore, we assume on a Doraisa level that she may have, in fact, been a Ba'ula during this period of Shevi. And Rabbi Yehuda's Svara is based on Shelo Yehechote Niskar. That's where we got up to yesterday. So today we're going to start with Omar Le Abaye. On Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis. Omar Le Abaye. This is towards the bottom third, or I would say a quarter of Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis. Let's see if we can find a siman. There's a Tosus Dira Maskel V'chi, and below it there's a Tosus Dira Maskel Mishum, and right in the middle, a little bit above the Tosus Mishum, you'll see Omar Le Abaye. And this is an objection that Abaye is going to raise to Rabba. V'taima d'Rabbi Yehuda hocha shelo yehechote niskar hu? Can you really raise this as a serious possibility? For Asanya, we have a brisa. Now this brisa addresses the case of ksuba as far as the shvuya is concerned. Normally, a besula receives a ksuba masayim, and a ba'ula mana. What is the ksuba for a shvuya? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, shvuya shenishbeis harei b'kedushasa. The assumption of Rabbi Yehuda explicitly here in this braisa is that she remains b'kedushasa, hachazaka shlo nivala, remains in place. Vafilu bas eser shonim ksubasa masayim. Even if her pidyon, she was redeemed from captivity, and she's bas eser shonim, which means, okay, so here we have a rashash that says that she is 10 years old. Again, the question would be why that age would be relevant here. So let's leave that as an outstanding question. The Rashash says that when Rabbi Yehuda mentions Bas Eser, it's based on a sugyan kiddush and daf pei aleph amid beis. The Mishnah speaks about higdilu ze yoshen b'ksuso v'kama. What's called higdilu? When is she considered a mature young lady? Is tinokus bas teisha shanim yom echad? Once she's into her 10th year, she's considered higdilu. But the bottom line is that the way the Rashash interprets these words, bas eser shanim, it's just sort of a phrase. It's an idiomatic phrase. It's a term that's used to say that she's mature. And if she's mature, you know, there's more of a reason to assume that she would have had she would have been a victim of rape during her Shevi period. In any event, despite it all, Rabbi Yehuda insists that b'kedushasa ksubasa basayim, she still retains her chazak shlo nivala, and she'll receive a ksubas masayim of a basula, not the mea zuz of a pu'ula. Vahasam, and with regard to ksuba, how would your logic, Rabba, niskar, ika, how would it apply in this discussion, in this context? There's no chet when a person marries her. We're not going to punish him or penalize him for marrying her and make him pay a fine. So the fact that Rabbi Yehuda mentions that shvuya is b'kedushasa kaima, even without a svara that she should be paid because shelo yechote niskar, it must mean that a shvuya, according to Rabbi Yehuda, b'kedushasa means she has a chazaka shelo nivala. And the assumption is that there was no be'ila. As we said before, in the language of Rabbi Dosa, b'chima asala Rabbi Allah's. So the Gemara defends Rabba, or perhaps Rabba himself defends himself. Hasam nami, there too, dilma mimane velo naspila. There is an outstanding reason that compels the payment of the ksuba at the level of Masayim, and motivates the Chachamim to make that to establish that enactment that she should collect, the Shvui should collect Masayim Zuz, despite the fact that we really have a suffix, maybe she had Be'ilah, and she's no longer Besula. Because if we're going to paskin that we lower her ksuba to 100 Zuz, what we're causing is that no one's going to want to marry this woman. Because the fact that her ksuba was lowered to the level of a Be'ula would indicate in the minds of any potential suitor that she was a Be'ula during her Shivi period. Who's going to want to marry this woman? Therefore, even though there is a chashash, maybe, perhaps, she was nivala, her ksuba would still retain its masayim, its besula status. And this is done out of compassion to make her a more attractive woman to be married on the shidduch market, so to speak. Ein achirami, if this takana wouldn't be shayach, or the takana of shalo yechot iniska in the case of ma'anes, then Rabbi Yehuda would hold that she doesn't retain her status as a shvuya, the shvuya doesn't retain her status as b'kedushasa. But there are these outstanding svaras, in the case of ksuba, to allow the shvuya to be a more attractive woman on the market, on the shidduch market, and in the case of ma'anes, shelo yechote niskar. Now the Gemara is going to raise an objection against Rabbi Yochanan's statement that according to Rabbi Yehuda, a shvuya is b'kedushasa omedes. And the Gemara raises the following question: V'savar Rabbi Yehuda v'kedushasa kaima v'asanya apodes ashvui yisa'ena meid ba lo yisa'ena. If a Kohen pays the ransom money to redeem a woman, a Jewish woman in captivity, he's allowed to marry her. We're not afraid that maybe she had be'ila, and a goy shebal bas Yisrael asa zona, and she becomes asur l'kuhuna. But if this same Kohen would testify about this woman that he knows that shalom nivala, in other words, after a period of time in which she was in captivity, after her redemption, he says, well, during that period of time, he knows, he can testify to the fact that she didn't have any be'ila. In such a case, lo yisa'ena. We'll soon see that the Gemara is going to have a problem with this. We're going to have to reinterpret this. But in any event, that's the literal translation of the Tanakhama in this brisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda in this brisa says, ben kach u ben kach, whether he himself shells out the money to redeem her, or he does not, he just testifies that he knows that she was not niveles, lo yisena, he should not marry her. Now, this obviously contradicts the premise of Rabbi Yochanan in explaining Rabbi Yehuda, namely that b'kedushasa kaima, but rather she is considered a ba'ula, and therefore a Kohen should not marry her. Well, again, what does it mean a Kohen should not marry her? The Chachamim here seem to assume, at least under certain situations, namely if he, the Kohen, shells out the money for her pidyon, he can marry her. So is it the Chachamim, perhaps, that hold that a shvuya is becheskas kedushasa? And if so, why made by lo yisayna? There's so many questions to be raised here. But one thing is clear, and that's the Gemara's kasha, that Rabbi Yehuda holds lo yisa'ena, that she is a ba'ula, or at least there's a serious suspicion that she's a ba'ula. That doesn't jive with Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, that b'kedushasa, she remains in her state of kedusha. So the Gemara says the following: before you ask me a kasha on this brisa, let's see if this brisa makes sense. Hagufa kasha. Let's go back to the Chachamim, the Tanakhama, this brisa. There's an inner contradiction in the brisa itself. Amar tapodes hashvuyisa, and if he signs the check, then he can marry her. And then, v'hadar tani, you say in the brisa that if that Kohen who is made ba, he testifies about her, lo yisa'ena. So the Gemara asks, I'm going to add one word to the Gemara, v'chi, I'm adding that word, mishum t'meid bo lo yisa'ena, as a result of the fact that he testifies to the effect that she is a b'sula, therefore he should marry her. Had he said nothing, he would be allowed to marry her. And because he testifies, he can't marry her. There's no consistent logic here. The Gemara answers, "Holo kasha hachi kamar." As far as the ratio is concerned, the Tanakhama, here's how we have to explain the Tanakhama. Hapodes hashvuya umeid ba yisaena. If it's not just that he testifies, that he knows, he has first-hand information and knowledge that she remained a besua, but not only that, he put his money where his mouth is, and he went ahead and he signed the check to be poda. is that he's allowed to marry her. The very fact that he was bold enough to take this financial responsibility and shell out the money, that proves that he was absolutely serious about it. There's no vested interest here that he wanted to marry this woman. But made by kiddi means alone, that alone, without actually paying the money, is lo yisayana. Why? Because it could very well be that he wants to marry this woman, and therefore he has an agenda. And when he testifies that he knows that she didn't have ve'ila, that's a falsification of the truth. Now all this touches on the question of what kind of eidus we need in a case of a shvuya. Are we dealing with eidechad bisurin? Are we dealing with davisha be'erva? If we're dealing with davisha be'erva, then on occasion the chacham will rely on one eid, despite the general rule that we need two witnesses for davisha be'erva. But if there's a very compelling reason to accept the eidus of one eid, and this is a sugya in the sixth parak of Yevamos, of a case of an aguna, a woman whose husband has gone lost, if she testifies, meis baili, that I know that my husband died, we can rely on her testimony. Isha daiko mintsava. She's afraid of the repercussions if he's actually still alive. So we're allowed to get married based on her own testimony. And it could be that one aid is believed to testify meis baileich under certain circumstances. The bottom line is that sometimes the Torah believes one aid. But what would be the compelling reason to believe this one aid in the case of a shvuya? The answer is poda es ha-shvuya, because he not only testified, but he spent presumably a significant sum of money in order to redeem her from captivity. There's a braisa, a tosefta in Yevamos in the fourth parak. Apodes hashvui muter lisa osa hamed al hashvui areza lo yichnos. So if he only testifies this coin and he does not shell out the money, he should not be marrying this one. But im kanas, if he in fact went ahead and married her, lo yotzi, we're not going to force him to divorce her. And this is an issue which is addressed in the poskim. No, the Bihuda has a suffix about this case of meir al shvuya vinasa osa b'dieved, whether we force him to divorce her. But again, all this is to explain the Tanakhama, the Braisa. Mikomakom kashel Rabbi Yehuda. When we get to Rabbi Yehuda, he certainly seems to contradict the interpretation of Rabbi Yochanan of Rabbi Yehuda, based on our Mishnah, that a shvuya remains b'kedushasa. Here the Braisa says we're afraid that she was nifsala. Amar Rav Papa, we have to change things around in this Braisa. Emo, we should suggest the gears in the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda omer ben kach u ben kach yisaena. Even if he's just simply testifying that he knows that she was lo nivala, that alone would be enough to permit him to marry her. He doesn't have to, as the Tanakhama would insist, he doesn't have to shell out the money to redeem and prove that he's telling the truth. Again, it's a little bit odd over here, and again, maybe we'll be able to address this question later on. Why does Rabbi Yehuda require eidus? You know, we're saying that the testimony of one kohen is acceptable, is reliable, but why do we need that testimony? Why don't you say a carte blanche statement that the shvuya can marry a kohen? That it doesn't say in Rabbi Yehuda. In any event, the Gemara offers now a second answer to reconcile Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation of Rabbi Yehuda with this Brice of Kohen, and that's in the name of Rav Huna Bered Rabbi Yoshomer Li'olam Kiriktani. Let's take the Brice's language as is, which means that Ben Kach Hu Ben Kach Lo Yisa'ena. We're not going to change the Girsa and Yisa'ena. We're going to accept the gears of the Braisa as we have it, lo yisa'ena. But Rabbi Yehuda, l'divreyem derabbanan ka'amar luhu. when Rabbi Yehuda says Bein Kach Ubein Kach Yisrael, he's arguing against the Chachamim on their turf, meaning based on their logical premise, they should equate both the case of Meidba and Poda Es Hashvuya. Lididi, according to my assumption, says Rabbi Yehuda, Bein Kach Ubein Kach Yisrael, he certainly can marry her, whether or not he shells out the money. El didchu, according to you, that you're afraid that she had be'ila, is Bein Kach Ubein Kach lo yisenu miboyle. We should have said that even in a case where he shells out the money, he should not be able to marry her because maybe she had a be'ila. Why do you differentiate? That's what Rabbi Yehuda's address asks the Chachamim, between Podeh u'meidba l'meidba b'lvat. It's Rabbanan answer. Podeh sashruya meidba yisa'ena shalot shadi inish zuzi b'chdi. A person's not going to take his money and throw it out if he's spending such a huge sum of money in order to redeem this woman. For sure he knows that she's muteres, and therefore it's worth it for him. But made ba kidi lo yisa'ena shema einov nasan ba. But again, Rabbi Yehuda is only arguing according to the Tanakhama. He himself would say that Bein Kach Ubein Kach yisa'ena, and she has a chezkas b'kedushasa. Now here, we have to mention a taz at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch Evan Ezer. He says that li olam choshtim bo shemeshake u'meid aleha shetori mishum shirotza linosa rak shem hotzi mos livdosa maminim lo shi tahora mikach shotzi mos lo choshi sheva toda shetmeahi avalmeid bolivan enu neman. So the fundamental principle, according to the Chachamim, says the Taz, is that we don't believe him. The fact that he testifies in a case and he's going to go ahead and marry this woman based on his own testimony, that certainly casts a shadow of a doubt on the credibility of his testimony. The only reason we believe him is because, look, she can at any time confess that in fact she was raped under the captivity. Why would a man jeopardize such a sum of money simply because he wants to marry her, when just, you know, the chick with the snap of her finger will find out that in fact she was a ba'ul? The Gemara now raises an additional objection to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Shvuya v'kedusha omeid. Rami lei Rav Papa bar Shmuel l'Rav Yosef. And here we're going to turn to Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. V'sava Rabbi Yehuda, the Kedushasa Kaima, can you really maintain that Rabbi Yehuda holds that she is Bechezka Shalom Nival of Asanya? We have a Braisa which records Machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi with regard to a Gioris. And the question is a twofold question. Number one, with regard to the laws of Nida, we have a look that a woman who sees Dam is Tmeil Amafreya. There's a Tumel Amafreya because we assume that the Dam may have been held up in the Beis HaChitzon. So it's Dam in Amokar. It should be Metameh Abed Nida. Now, what's the deal with the case of a Gioris? Do we apply this principle of Tmeil Amafreya? She sees Dam, let's say on the very day of her conversion. Any woman who sees Dam, if she made a bedika and then she saw Dam, the Rabbanan are going to say that she's Tmeya l'mafreya, she becomes Tmeya retroactively from the moment of the bedika and onwards. And therefore, if she came in contact with any taharos, you know, she needed a dough, that dough becomes Tmeya, and it goes as far back as even me'es li'es, even 24 hours l'mafreya. Again, it's limited by either the last bedika or the 24-hour period, whichever is the more recent period of time. And when we talk about a bedikah, the language of the Mishnah is always pekida, pei kuf yud dalet hey. That's called a bedikah. Those are synonymous terms. So the gzeira of the Rabbanon with regard to Shar Noshim, before we get to Gioris, and then we have to see whether that gzeira applies to Gioris, is that kol taros shenagava me esli esa somach l'riyas adam, o l'mafeya ad hapkida kodemesh shalosh nimtzeis batahura, and we always go to the shorter period of time, all those taros are tmeim. Now, number two, there's another halacha called Hamtana Shlosha Chadoshim, which means that after a woman undergoes conversion, we're not going to allow her to get married within a 3-month period of time, because we're always afraid that maybe she had a relationship with someone, she was impregnated, so that in order to be able to distinguish Lahavchin Bein Zera Kosher Zera Apostle, to know whether or not the husband that married her subsequent to the Yoris is really the father of this child, we have to separate his marriage to her from the Yoris itself and distance it by a minimum of 3 months. That would allow her, in event that she's pregnant, for everybody to know that she's pregnant, that 3-month period. And in event that she's not pregnant, then she can get married. Fine, given those introductions, Hagiores shenizgaira v'ros adam. So the first issue that's being addressed here in this braisa is whether or not the gzera of the chacham to be metami kol taras blumafreya after she sees dam, does that apply to giores? Is Rabbi Yehuda Omer daya shaita? Only those taros that she had contact with subsequent to her gerus, they are tmeim. And that's obvious. But as far as taros that she had contact with before she saw the dam, for example, meis leis, we're not going to be metami those taros. Why? Because even if you would assume that nekar adam, that the dam left her makar before her tvilas gerus, that's dam nochris. At that moment in time, her status was that of a non-Jewish woman, and her dam is tar. Her dam has the same status as the dam of Behem, it's not metame. So therefore, it's not shaykh to institute a gzera of Lamafreya to be Metama from the moment of Riyas Dam Eis Leis 24 hours earlier, and assume that, or Mipkida L'Mipkida, that maybe after her previous Bedinka she saw Dam immediately. Those Chashoshes are inappropriate for a Gioris, because you're afraid that Nekar Adam, the Dam was inside her body in a way that she became Tami before she saw the Dam outside of her body. Well, this dam she only saw outside of body after the tefillah, and any dam that was nekar min hamakar before her gerus would have been dam shel nochus. Now let's just mention that a lot of the information that we've been presenting here is based on the Mishnah at the very beginning of Masecht Nida, which records the Shitas Chachamim that Li'olam Lo Gazru Yoser Mi Eis Li Eis L'mafreya, that there's no L'mafreya, there's no Gzeir L'mafreya that goes earlier than 24 hours, that's the maximum. And also in Bodka, if she made a Bedikah and she found herself to be clean, to be Tahora, then if that bedika took place within the 24-hour period since her l'mafreya, since her re'iyah, then there's no tumah before that period of time, before the moment of bedika. And those two limitations of me'es li'es and mi'pekida l'pekida, they apply l'kula, However, that is the sheet of the Chachamim against Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai hold that this Gzerah of Lamafer was never instituted. Beis Hillel are of the opinion that we always have to be metame mipkida lepkida, even if there were many days since her last bedika. But again, our sugya here reflects the shita of the Chachamim, neither the shita of Beit Shammai Lekula nor the shita of Beis Hillel Lechumra, but the middle compromise shita of the Chachamim, that it depends on either Meis Leis or Mipkida Lepkida Lekula, whichever is the shorter period of time. That's how much Lamafreya we're going to go to be Metame Otaras. And in the case of a Gioris who saw Dam, then this is basically her first bedika, and there was no bedika before this. The Marshal points out that even before her gerus, mistoma, we assume bodka atzma, kodem shetovla, and that's called the pekida. But in any event, only from the moment, so says Rabbi Yehuda, of her Re'ias Dam, is she Tmeya. No, there's no Lamafreya whatsoever. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Harehi kechol hanoshim, umetam'o Lamafreya, I'm adding the word Lamafreya, me'isleis mufkidu l'pkida. Which means that the Gzeres Chachomim of Lamafreya applies no less to Yores than it does to any other woman. And, you know, when it says here, Me'eis Leis Mifkidu L'Pkidu, it means that she would be Metame L'Mafreya, and that would be Me'eis Leis, a 24-hour period of time. And therefore, any Taros that she had contact with after the Gerus, up until the moment of Re'ias Dam, would be Tmeim if they're within this 24-hour period of Me'eis Leis. And in Tosus, Dibra Maskel Rabbi Yehuda, he writes, Pirusha Kuntris, Keva Deleka Me'eis Le'eis L'Pidu L'Pkidu Nami Lo Gozer Abonon, Rabbi Yossi, the Kama Metam Me'eis Le'eis Lavdavka Me'eis Le'eis El Klomar Bitoras Me'eis Le'eis Metami Mishin Is Gaira. So Tosus points out that it's Bitoras Me'eis Le'eis. In other words, don't interpret it as literally Me'eis Le'eis, that from the moment of her gerus, she's metame l'mafreya. It means metame mipkida l'pkida b'toras Me'eis Le'eis.